someone else's journey is our lesson.
We used to say, the difficult we do immediately, the impossible just takes a little more time.
Someone else's lesson is our gift.
I believe part of our responsibility is really to equip and inspire our students to ask those difficult questions.
Be encouraged by the stories that lift us all.
I came to Howard because I wanted to be the President of the United States.
Somebody saw something in me, and it's my duty to be that person for somebody else.
Now, join Dr. Wayne Frederick, President of Howard University, and his guest on The Journey.
She's a meticulous researcher and a passionate scholar who has uncovered fascinating stories about Black women in the 19th century. She has written and taught about them and is now urging a generation of students to find their own stories and the stories of people living in the shadows. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my conversation today on The Journey is with the Howard University professor and chair of the Department of History, Dr. Nikki Taylor. Welcome.
Thank you.
So you were born in Toledo, Ohio.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about Toledo.
Toledo is a working class town. It was a town that people made their living in the Ford Jeep plants, the automobile industry, and the subsidiary industries. And so not many people in Toledo dreamed about going to college, especially the types of colleges that I went to. So it's a gritty town, very down to earth, and the town reflects in my personality.
Tell me a little bit about your early school time in terms of what was your class made of? Were there a lot of people who looked like you, or, were you a minority in those classes?
I was a majority until the sixth grade, and then I went to public schools up through the eighth grade. And so the sixth grade was an all-Black elementary school. And then I went to an integrated junior high school, and that was my first time really interacting with whites on a daily basis, with white teachers, with white principals. And then from there, my mother put me in a country day school, very elite. It's the number one private school in the state of Ohio. And so we had about 47 people who graduated in my class. There were 8 African Americans, and so I had to navigate at the intersections of class and race in a way that I never had before. Very wealthy school, and I was not a member of that class. And so it made me very conscious about class and how class, impacts people's lives and their life opportunities.
And so you then went on to University of Pennsylvania, where you received a BA in history. Why University of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. My life is the sum total of a lot of different opportunities, and that particular opportunity that introduced me to the University of Pennsylvania was called LEAD, Leadership, Economic, and Development. And it was designed to introduce Black kids and other minorities to the world of business. But that's how I learned about Penn. And I had the courage. I was the first one in my family to leave Toledo. And I just took, a risk and a big step. And I went to Philadelphia with $127 in my pocket. And, fell in love with the East Coast.
Okay. So you pursued a BA in history there, and then subsequently went to Duke, where you did your master's and your PhD. Your dissertation was on Frontiers of Freedom, the African-American Experience in Cincinnati, 1802 to 1862, which has now become a book. Tell me a little bit about why that topic. I see the Ohio roots, obviously, but why that topic? And what was unique about what you saw in reviewing that history?
That's a great question. People often ask, because I'm obviously not from Cincinnati, but while I was doing my education at Duke, I learned a lot about the antebellum city of Philadelphia. And in the course of learning and studying that, I thought I would do Philadelphia as my research topic. But then I learned that Cincinnati, Philadelphia had a lot of racial riots in the 19th century. None of them compared to what happened in Cincinnati. One of the first acts of ethnic cleansing against African Americans happened in Cincinnati. So I was horrified to hear about that. And so, and it's an easy city to do history of in a lot of ways. That just became the place that I decided to do, and it was an easy topic for me as an Ohioan. There are a lot of things about the topic that I knew instinctively because it was home.
Now, at the same time, you received a certificate in women's studies, and a lot of what you've done has looked at the African-American woman, female experience as well. With that in mind, tell our audience a little bit about what you see as the intersection of the African-American experience in its totality, but then the subset of that for the African-American woman.
African-American women's history is a relatively new field. It's only 20, 25 years old. And unfortunately, it has not gotten the amount of, the same attention that larger histories of African-American history has received. But now there's a new generation of scholars, and I am among them, who are committed to doing this history, because far too often at the base level, African-American women are not at the table. We're erased. Our voices are muted. We're silenced. Historically and actually in current society. And so I knew that as a woman, as a mother of a girl, it is important for me to elevate that story, to empower and humanize Black women in ways that heretofore have been, fractured or inconsistent. There's a term called intersectionalities. And so Black women experience things not just as Black people, and not just as Black women, but also at the intersection of race, gender, and class together. So they're compounded, and there's no way that you can separate these identities. And so it just becomes a triple burden that we carry with us, or, a triple crown. It depends on which way you look at it.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Nikki Taylor, professor and chair of the Department of History at Howard University. I'm Wayne Frederick. Just continuing along this vein, I am now the father of an 11-year-old daughter, and she came home one day and said to me that I don't like working on group projects with boys because they tend to be extremely bossy. They want to take the lead. They mess it up, and then I have to fix it. And I thought to myself, that's very insightful in terms of how the world works. But having said that, I think there's a lot of truth in our society to that. When coming to Howard University, where we champion a lot of things here in terms of diversity, inclusion, we have not had the most progressive history around women leadership. Mm-hmm. We now have 7 women deans, of which I'm extremely proud, and half of my cabinet is women. When you look at that in terms of from a leadership point of view, and talking about the intersectionality with which you experience a lot of things that you have over your career, where do you see, I guess, the forces in the future for those who are coming behind you, including your daughter and my daughter, and how they navigate it, and what are the things we should be doing to ensure that those things are changing?
Well, there's so many more programs that are available to our daughters that were not available to me, including programs that advance women in science, women, girls in STEM, Black girls in engineering. And I think those are very, it gives me hope for women. In terms of leadership, we haven't been as good as a society about developing women for leadership. Sometimes I've noticed in my career, oftentimes when women are in positions of leadership, sometimes because we haven't had models of leadership historically or otherwise, sometimes we take on some of the personas or leadership styles of the men, which can be a little disconcerting for especially other women. And so, we have a little work to do, but hopefully it's not just about putting women in these positions, but also developing them so that they feel confident enough that they don't have to always embrace the old leadership styles.
I want to talk to you about a couple of your books. The first is Driven Toward Madness, The Fugitive Slave, Margaret Garner, and Tragedy on the Ohio.
Yeah. This is a book that is the actual real-life history of a novel written by Toni Morrison called Beloved. Mm-hmm. And Oprah Winfrey adapted that novel to a film. And so I looked at the real history of this woman who in 1856 escaped slavery, 16 miles south of Cincinnati in Kentucky. She and her family left together that night. Her husband, her mother-in-law, her father-in-law, and her four children, and she was pregnant with child. She crossed the Ohio River while it was frozen solid with her children, got to Ohio, only to find, to her dismay, her owner had doggedly pursued her the 16 miles in the dead of January night. And so out of desperation, first the men in the family tried to fight the self-styled deputies that followed the owner and came with him to reclaim them. And when that proved to be futile, she just did what the only thing that at the time she could think to do to escape slavery. Now, her point was to escape slavery. So when the physical escape of slavery didn't work, she took a knife and cut the throat of her two-year-old daughter and took a coal shovel and bashed in the head of her of another one of her daughters. And so that story is the basis of the book.
As you pursue this journey as a chair of history and really moving so many things along the way, what is your advice to incoming students who may be looking to seek a career in history, pursue that as a major? What is your advice to them, and what can we expect out of the Department of History in terms of the bigger mosaic of Howard University?
A history major prepares you for all kinds of jobs because there are certain core competencies that history majors have, including research skills, which can be translated to all sorts of fields. They're effective writers, effective communicators all the way around, and they are critical thinkers, which all kinds of research proves that's the single biggest thing that is a predictor of success is critical thinking skills and critical reading skills. And so our major prepares you for all kinds of careers. A lot of people tend to go on to get JDs, you know, become attorneys, and they come back and thank historians for the work that they did preparing them for law school. They could go on and do public relations, journalism, become teachers. They could work in the government. They could take the Foreign Service exam, which is particularly relevant here in D.C., and become a Foreign Service agent or worker abroad. And so that's one thing. I'm very honored to sit in the offices that so many giants have sat in and walk in the classrooms that so many giants have not only taught in but learned in. Mm-hmm. And so it's an honor to come to Howard and major in history. I can't believe that everybody isn't beating down our doors to do just that. In terms of the department, we're turning the corner on a lot of things. We have so many things planned for this three-year journey that with me as the leader. The first thing is trying to establish a more concrete pre-law and or bachelor slash JD program. We're also trying to strengthen our public history program with the new museum here. We feel, because Howard was the first university to begin holding classes at the National Museum of African American History and Culture, we feel that we are poised to continue that leadership in training people to go into the world of public history. In addition to that, we're going to strengthen some of our other courses that, you know, we're going to make the broader connections between, let's say, slavery and mass incarceration, and between the things that have happened to Black women historically and some of the ongoing things. One of the most disheartening thing is the persistence of stereotypes about Black women is the Jezebel. And so our classes unpack a lot of those things so people can understand why these things are still happening to us.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. Nikki Taylor, professor and chair of the Department of History. And it's fair to say, as she looks back, she certainly is going to be moving the Department of History here at Howard University forward. Join us next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne Frederick on the Howard University Radio Network.